Welcome back, everyone, to the Trade Raiders podcast. The
Cowabunga boys.
Cowabunga. We love pizza.
Sorry, I messed up the intro.
Threw off my groove.
Sorry, start over. Sorry.
The comic book club. We read different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, your brother, Nathan. We're brothers. And we have a special guest today, our cousin Brian. How's it going, man?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Have you ever been on a podcast before?
I have not.
I could tell. I'm just kidding. Thanks for joining us. Do you listen to podcasts?
I've listened to a few here and there. I don't subscribe to any just because it's
not like a... You work at home. You're not gonna listen to one on the way to work or anything.
Right, exactly. But it is something that I've been meaning to get more into because I do like listening to different things and having those kind of... It's just a great source of material to get to, to get to know people's views and things like that.
Yeah, it's a low effort, which is why we do it.
Yeah. It's just finding those that the hosts that you like and then the material that they cover that's good.
Yeah, like I listen to Rogan, right? But he's got the thing on YouTube, so it's a lot easier for me to find.
Sure.
And I've just never gone down the rabbit hole of like searching for podcasts on like Spotify and things like that. So
yeah, for sure. Well, anyway. Have you listened to one of our episodes?
I haven't.
Oh, wow. I even sent you the link and everything.
I've been so busy.
So you have no idea how this works, how we do things. Well, we start off with the news. And for people who don't know, like Brian, we have time codes for all of our segments if you want to skip around.
Yep. So it starts with the news, then it goes with the book that we're going to read this week, which is TMNT, which stands for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Is that the only... Change is constant. Yeah.
It's the name of the trade. Yes. Yep.
And then we go into the back matter of the book where we talk about some of the extra stuff that's on the... It's called back matter once you're done reading it. There's like different prints or concept art and stuff like that.
Yep, saw that.
Which is always fun and exclusive to trades, which is why we do it, because single issues, you don't have that.
Oh, okay, okay.
And then the pull list, where we just kind of talk about all the other things we've been consuming and enjoying. So we'll start with the news.
Brian, do you have any comic book news?
Yeah.
Comic book news. No.
Okay.
That's great.
No worries. We got it covered.
I didn't come prepared.
Clearly. Anyway, Nathan, James Gunn. Nathan and Brian, James Gunn says another Suicide Squad spinoff is in development.
Like a show?
Yeah. Or maybe a movie or something like that. And,
okay.
And a season two of Peacemaker is possible. So okay, maybe when that wraps up, he won't die or something. You'll have a cliffhanger. Who knows?
Yeah. Who knows? Have you been watching Peacemaker?
I have not.
Heard of it?
No, I have heard of it and I haven't watched it because I didn't believe in it.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
No faith? What do you mean?
The reason why is because, so in Suicide Squad, he plays a character, obviously, of questionable moralities, but he always gets the job done, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
In the end of the film, he ends up turning on his squad, essentially, and becoming a villain. And I didn't feel like, and I haven't seen the show or seen any trailers, so I don't know how his character develops or if it even goes this route, if it's post or pre-movie, but I feel like the idea of, you know, us as a society, you know, commending that kind of behavior and you know, congratulating that kind of character on giving him his own story, I think is dumb. And I don't like
that. Then what would you think about like a Deadpool character?
Deadpool, yeah. I thought about this going in because I knew you guys were going to come back with this. And Deadpool, I think, is a little different because he doesn't do things villainous for a villainous reason, where I feel like in the movie, that guy, he was literally, like you said, he'll kill women, children to get the thing done. Like, that's definitely some villain behavior.
It's to bring peace at like all costs, right? Which is kind of like his motto. And Suicide Squad, all of them have questionable things. They're all in jail.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So... Okay, that's interesting.
Go ahead.
I think, you know, there's plenty of, like, things where, you know, the villain is, like, the main character.
Kind
of. Yeah, I would say villain movies, villain shows, stuff like that. Something where maybe you're rooting for the villain, or he's got a point kind of thing.
Yeah.
True, but usually those are more of, like, they're on the path to redemption or doing the right thing, but we're, you know, previously judged for something else. I just felt like his character was such a, it was very potent in terms of like his lengths that he would go to, and they made it very clear. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side of that, I did hear that he was battling with kind of what he did, and he's kind of going through that. So I'm obviously going to watch it, right?
Give like the first episode a try. Yeah. Just see if you like the show. Like, not really think too much about whether how much he's developing. But there is like a spot where he had to kill a kid, and he doesn't.
Oh, wow. Oh, he doesn't.
He doesn't.
And it's very clearly like, that was something he needed to kill.
Right.
But he doesn't.
Yeah.
So they
do kind of
explore. This might be the show for you, actually.
Yeah.
I feel like it's good. And I just had that preconceived notion going in without kind of knowing anything about this show or anything like that. But I've heard that he kind of deals with that, what he did in Suicide Squad, and he's moving past it and in a good direction. So I definitely think I'll give it a shot. But that was my initial reaction to that show.
I think if you watch the first episode, tonally, they're all like pretty much exactly the same. So if you like the first one, I think you'll like the rest of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think they definitely keep that in mind, that they don't paint him as a good guy.
Right.
And they also explore him questioning his own ideals. So
I think that's kind
of interesting in that sense. But
cool.
I don't know if I'd watch season two with how it's gone so far. It's been definitely entertaining.
How it wraps up will really determine if I keep with it.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, if they were to do another one, do you think they'd do like another person on the Suicide Squad? Would they do like a blood sport or a rat catcher?
I think they have the most opportunity for things. I would personally love Bloodsport. I don't know if there's like a budget for like a show like that, just to have all his guns and shit like that. But
is that the Vin Diesel thing that he did recently? Is that Dead Bloodshot?
That's Bloodshot.
That's
a great movie.
No, Bloodsport.
Recommend it.
It was great to watch. I don't know about
recommend
it
wholeheartedly to anybody.
Top three
easily.
And also, probably another top three is the newest Predator.
Yeah, I love the newest Predator.
I have not.
Oh, best Predator.
The movie. Yeah.
It had the dude from like Narcos in it.
Okay. I'm in.
So
best Predator.
For some reason, the only movie that me, Daniel, and my friend Parker have seen together are very shitty movies like The Predator and Bloodshot. And it's just been like laughably just awful movies that like have potential to be pretty good. But then when you watch them, you're like, this is just nothing. So we always recommend those two.
Nice. I love watching film of any value, right? Because I just get lost in it. Like, it's just a whole other thing for me. And even if it's a bad movie, like, I'll still enjoy it.
If you like the most recent Hellboy, you'll love these movies.
Yeah, you'll love Bloodshot. Yeah, there's a big Predator. It's very good.
Oh, he's also, James Gunn also said that Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is the last time we'll see this team.
Ooh.
Yeah, I expected that. Well, I think because like it's Dave Bautista's last one,
right?
But I think on top of that, there's going to be more like drastic changes than just like one or two people are out.
Mm.
So yeah, I'm interested in that. I think a trilogy with that sort of family together is good.
Definitely.
Do you like the first one or the second one better?
This is very your answer is very important.
Yeah. I mean, I like the first one more.
Let's fucking go.
I retract that question.
I like the first one more.
I'm editing, so it's keep it.
I'll edit it out. I have final say. I'll edit it out.
I did like the first one more because I felt like it was, I don't know. I just,
go ahead and say it. You're right.
The feel was just better than the second one.
So much more
heart,
right?
I liked the second one, and I feel like there was some character development that happened with Rocket and all that stuff, and it was good and great, and you know, he found his dad and did all that thing, but I liked the first one more. I think it's a better one.
And that is the correct answer.
That's totally fair, but you have a wrong opinion, and it's okay. You know, everybody's entitled to their wrong opinions.
Nathan.
Yeah.
Remember some news last week how a county in Tennessee banned the book Mouse?
Yes.
Just in from libraries?
Yep.
It's Mouse is a book that is like based off World War II, and the people that are in it are represented as like anthropomorphic animals, you know, like main character mice and things like that. I think the Polish were like pigs and things like that. So it's just kind of, they're all represented differently.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
What were the Nazis? Were they cats?
Nazis are cats. Jewish people mice.
Okay.
And it's a very real and raw representation of what happened to the Jews during World War II.
Wow.
And it, like, Art Spiegelman, the guy that wrote and drew it, his dad like survived through the Holocaust, so it's very shit. Like
isn't the story like what he lived?
Yeah, it's what he lived. Yeah, So it's, and it's yeah, it happens very differently and like a lot slower in some cases you might think, and it's very raw, depressing.
Interesting.
And it got banned in a Tennessee school district for very trivial reasons, but what they said is that it features words like goddamn in it.
Anything to suppress it, right?
Yeah, yeah. So
so where I was going with that is there's a Knoxville comic shop that is giving away free copies of Mouse.
Oh, cool.
Which is really cool.
I've seen a ton of those. I've seen like a like a couple different ones, like Comics Conspiracy.
Yeah.
He's giving away a book to anybody that asks. He bought like 100 copies.
Anybody that's awesome.
Asks in that district.
Yeah.
And he's gone through like 60 already, and then people have, you know, added funds to like their own thing to like get people those books if they want to read them.
That's really cool.
So that's pretty interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It's a great book. We read it on this podcast, and it's
we're like, this is like,
we even said, we're like, this should be taught in schools. Like, yeah, I have like a better understanding of World War II because of it.
Cool. You
know? Absolutely. Because as I was reading it, I'm like, oh, I didn't understand like this country, how this country experienced this.
Yeah,
and things
and how
like
people
that,
hid. So. And yeah, it's very interesting.
Yeah. Do you have any news, Nathan?
Yes. Daniel, you know the Dark Knights of Steel, that comic book that Tom Taylor is writing?
Yeah.
So
it's like the DC universe if they were like
medieval.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. The start of it, so Tom Taylor tweeted the first 9 pages, and I think DC believes in this so much that they're reprinting the first 3 sold out issues in a mini trade consisting of 3 issues.
Oh, weird.
So
that's cool.
That's like very unusual. Normally they just let the run finish out, print it in trade, and ship it. I think they saw the popularity of this series, and they're putting the first 3 to help people catch up.
Nice, yeah.
But yeah,
like, that's pretty cool.
The first 9 pages shows like Superman like crashing in his ship, and the people that pick him up are like, we need help. And then there's like people off in the distance and like horses and stuff like riding around. And there's like a Batman that's medieval and a Wonder Woman that's medieval. And it's really cool looking. So
as long as he's got a grappling hook.
Yeah, exactly. So so yeah, I thought they must really believe in it.
Yeah,
if they're doing that, because that's a lot. That's a big pain in the ass, I feel like.
We love Tom Taylor and on this podcast, and I guess like the concept just wasn't that strong for me to pick it up, but if it's like doing that well, it must be.
It's a big statement for them to be doing that. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Daniel.
Yeah.
Have you heard of Tom King?
Sure have.
Tom King wrote this comic book right here. He's a very popular one in the industry right now. And he's starting a Substack for free. Did you hear about this?
Kind of.
So he's launching a book called Love Everlasting. It's a romance comic book, because romance comic books used to be like super popular back in the day, I guess. They consisted of like 1/6 of the books in like the 70s or something like that. And so on a Substack, which is a email platform where you just sign up with your email and you get like parts of the book or however they want to do it. They can do like behind the scenes stuff where they're like, here's how I came up with the concept of this character.
Oh, cool.
Things like that. He launched a free Substack where every single month you get 24 pages of Love Everlasting for free.
Wow.
Completely colored, completely drawn, completely lettered, all of that completely for free. Or you could choose to do paid ones where you get some of that behind the scenes stuff. And on top of that, they are releasing it in print in comic shops.
Nice.
But you could read it completely for free, like this first issue, and the next month, second issue, completely free, third issue, completely free. And I think that's a really interesting strategy, because Substack has gotten like a lot of comic book creators to do this like all digital email sort of platform. They got the writer of Batman at the time to stop doing Batman and do this.
And they also like stopped doing like Twitter and things like that, where they normally promote their stuff.
Right.
To where it's kind of like a Patreon.
Yeah, yeah.
But just where you get these emails or whatever every month or whatever.
But most of the time you have to pay to see like the comic books that they're making, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm. There's some that are exclusive to that platform.
But they're doing it for free for anybody that wants it.
Interesting.
And then it comes in print later. So they'll get sales regardless. And then the people that want to see the behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, and some of the tiers include like getting on a Zoom call with them and like talking to them, asking questions, stuff like that. So there's like...
That's nuts.
That's good engagement.
There's like 3 or 4 different tiers. So yeah, I think... of all the Substacks I've seen, I'm a part of one Substack with a writer named Chip Zdarsky. He's been on the show a couple times. I think this is like one of the best ways I've seen it done. So pretty cool.
Nice. Interesting.
And romance comics, you don't see a goddamn one anymore. So it's interesting that they went with that category. But
yeah. Nathan, speaking of Substack.
Yeah, what's up?
BKV, Brian K. Vaughn.
Is he doing one?
He's doing one called Spectators with Nico Hendrickson.
I don't know who that is.
Neither do I. But good for him. So Brian K. Vaughn, he wrote Saga.
I love Saga.
Yeah.
I read a couple of those. I was just looking at your Lion Cap.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then Ex Machina, that was a comic that he wrote. You know that movie?
I know the movie. The movie is great.
Yeah, so it was a comic that he wrote originally.
Yeah.
What are the BKV things?
He's on Runaways.
I've only watched a couple episodes.
The original one is like super popular in like the comics. Why the Last Man he did. I was looking through my collection and he did a book called Barrier, which I think is really interesting and underrated. But apparently in the book, two characters who speak different languages get abducted by aliens and they have to figure out how to get out together.
Oh, cool.
So one speaks English, one speaks Spanish. Part of the book is Spanish. Part of the book is like English. And they have to like work together. And there's like a language barrier.
It's an extraterrestrial the escape room.
Yeah, basically. Where you can't collaborate with the other person that well. So, yeah. But he's really good.
If there weren't naked people in that, I would like go to Nana's house and be like, I need your help.
Yeah.
To
know what, can you help translate this
book? What is he saying?
Pretty cool. So pretty cool. He does mainly movie and TV show stuff now, I think. But it's cool that he's doing a Substack.
Also, talking about Substack, Grant Morrison got one.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I know.
All the big boys.
All the big boys, definitely.
That's crazy. You know, Image Comics turned 30 this week.
They sure did. Did you get that that anniversary issue that they came out with?
I saw it and I didn't pick it up.
Wow.
I thought there would have been like more in there other than just like a Wikipedia article in print, you know?
But it's written by the people who lived it, Nathan. Wikipedia is anyone can fuck with.
So Image, at a 1,000-foot view, they print like Saga and stuff. They're like the biggest independent publisher outside of like Marvel and DC. They were like, fuck Marvel and DC like 30 years ago.
Right.
They're like, they're not giving us the royalties to the characters and everything. So they started Image Comics. And they gave, you know, the whole business model was that you keep everything, you know, and then we'll just take our cut for publishing the books,
right?
Which brings a lot of creators with a lot of really great ideas.
That's really cool.
So like Invincible's been on there. Saga's been on there.
It's Walking Dead.
Walking Dead.
Kick-Ass, I think.
Yeah, I think Kick-Ass is on there. So like it's a huge
bunch of things. Yeah. So normally if it's not Marvel or DC, it's probably Image.
It's probably, yeah.
Other than the Mutant Ninja Turtles, but...
Exactly. What else you got, Daniel?
Let's see here. Oh, we got a release date for that Halo series.
March 24th.
March 24th. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you know about that, Brian?
I did not.
Yeah, so it's a TV show.
Marvel
or a Halo TV show. It looks really
cool.
Paramount
Plus.
Okay.
Paramount Plus. Everybody's favorite streaming platform.
So, did you guys watch when it first came out by Rooster Teeth, that whole Halo parody thing that they did?
Oh, Red versus Blue?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, of course.
I loved that. That was so good.
The production value on it, like seeing it go up over years is insane.
Yeah.
Like an actual mocap and like, I think Michael B. Jordan was on it at one time.
Really?
Yeah, something like that.
I always remember the one where like it's the two of them talking. He's like, wait, are you black? He's
like, they're just like aiming up and down really quick.
Yeah.
So funny.
The early stuff was so good.
And then they did something right before Halo 5 launched, like a mini series. Did you ever watch that one? Mike Coulter, who plays Luke Cage, was Spartan Locke.
Okay.
And that one was pretty entertaining, but this one looks like it kind of is a step up from that.
Yeah, this is like a live action show.
Very cool.
If you like look up a trailer, it looks fucking crazy.
Nice. That'll be fun.
Like, cool. Yeah, the best that could possibly look. Another more Substack news shit. Jeff Lemire, he's going to be coming out with the book Last Days of Black Hammer, exclusive to Substack.
Heard about that.
So I guess I gotta fucking pay for it now. Black Hammer is like one of my top three books of all time, and
really good.
What do you like most about it?
It's just so trippy. It's just like it's so trippy to me, and there's so many like twists and you just love the characters really fast.
Good writing, good characters.
It's clearly an homage to like very popular superheroes, but all kind of living in their own jumbled universe.
Okay.
And there's like a weird mystical sort of situation that they're in that they have to figure stuff out. But all of the characters individually, you could see them in their own series, and they did. Like a lot of them have their own spin-off series.
Cool. Very cool.
He's just built up his own universe. Like, super well.
You care so much about everybody. It's crazy.
That's awesome. That's good to hear.
Yeah. So there's that.
More Substack.
Did we know when Little Monsters came out? Or is that new?
Like the release date? We talked about that.
Okay, March 2nd.
We were talking about Legos before the show.
Yeah.
You know Jim Lee, Daniel?
Sure do.
He partnered with Lego. And
is there going to be a Lego Jim Lee?
You know how in Legos they have like those art ones that are just like on a canvas?
Oh, yeah.
It's basically just like pixel art. He's partnering with Lego to do one of those based off of his Batman.
Oh, cool.
And they're doing one for like Harley Quinn and stuff like that. And so Jim Lee and I think his name is Alex Sinclair, who colored it.
Yeah.
They like partner with Lego to do this.
That's crazy.
So he did a video and he showed like his Batman and then like the Lego Batman. And I'm like, that looks a lot better than I thought it would. So, so yeah, there's like a Harley Quinn one. There's a Two-Face one, I think. So
interesting.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I was like, Jim Lee, for some reason, just does a lot outside of comics. Like he was on Sesame Street for Thanksgiving.
And there, okay. he was introducing a
he was part of
Asian American character that they were bringing out.
Yeah. He was part of one of the people that launched Image Comics as well.
Yeah, he was on like X-Men and stuff like that back in the 90s.
Nice.
And
then he drew the most sold comic book of all time, which is X-Men number one.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and then he's like up there at DC right now. So
it makes sense why all the opportunities are coming to him. It's just weird to see him do so many things outside of comics.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I mean, you want to be on Sesame Street? Like, what the hell is that?
That was interesting to hear. But is that all the news we got?
Marvel's doing a new event called Judgment Day. We don't know much about it, but it's Avengers, X-Men, and Eternals probably fighting each other.
Huh.
Oh, cool.
So we'll see what that's about.
I feel like the Eternals are like never in like events.
I feel like Marvel's like, we should probably do some more stuff with Eternals.
And they got a whole ass movie. Yeah. So we can sell the shit out of this.
Yeah, exactly.
Integrate them as much as possible to make that money.
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
Have you guys watched or seen anything on that new Vox Machina, the D&D parody?
You know, like I've seen it around and I just like didn't know what it was. So
Critical Role did this like sub series, I believe, on whatever platform they did it on, where they essentially like drew out and did an art style of their D&D
campaign.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And so this is like a more high end scale production of it. It's
like an animated show, right?
Yeah, animated show.
That's crazy.
I haven't watched it yet, but I'm very intrigued.
That's
and want
to
get on
to
it.
Get to that point where your campaign is like being adapted.
Yeah.
That's insane.
And yeah, I did see that. I wasn't sure what it was though.
What was that D&D comic book? Was it Die?
Die.
I think the concept is if you're character dies in the campaign, then you die in real life or something like that. It's probably one of those.
It's where like you're inserted into your campaign. Like there's this one girl who like lost her arm.
Jumanji but D&D.
I want to read that eventually and get like D&D people on it.
I would love to play.
Okay.
Anytime you guys want to play those two. I've never done it, but I would love to.
I'm not talking about playing, just reading the book.
No, I want to
part of a
D&D
campaign right now that we're doing completely over Discord.
Huh.
It's interesting. Huh. Learning a lot, but it's very complicated.
Yeah.
I bet.
But anyway, is that all your news, Daniel?
Yep.
Okay, let's get into the book that we read this week, which is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Changes Constant, Volume 1. So this is like the reboot that they did?
Yeah, this is like the most recent run, and I think it's still going on. And
I think
so.
I think it just passed 100.
So this book's not that old.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's still going on.
We were going to do the original one, but reading old comics kind of sucks sometimes.
Yeah,
so,
it can be kind of rough to get through.
But yeah, so this is the most recent reboot. Best jumping on point, probably, if you're wanting to get into TMNT. Mm-hmm. Me and Sophia last week, or the week before, were just watching TMNT, like the old school like 90s movies, because they were
best.
On Netflix.
So good.
They're so good to put on and then do something else. Because when you just, anytime you look at the screen, something campy is going on, and it just like makes me happy for
something. Right? I loved that. Three Turtles in Time. That was a good one.
Yeah. And yeah, a great one. And like, there's so much TMNT out there, and I can't believe we haven't even done a TMNT book yet up to this point. We're 96 episodes in, have not done TMNT.
Ryan, did you know that comics is like how like they came together, like the first concept?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it started originally as a comic book.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was like researching on it, because I think TMNT is the weirdest history, where just like some dudes come up with a concept and it just kind of takes off. Huh. But it was originally created by Kevin Eastman, who's writing this book, or co-writing this book, I believe, and then Peter Laird. Kevin Eastman was the original artist, but those two were basically just boys. They were like living together at like around college time, and they just wanted to like make comics or do some sort of like print media. And Kevin Eastman was just one day drawing just random stuff while they're sitting on the couch, and Kevin Eastman was like, what if Bruce Lee was like an animal? what's like the worst animal that he could be, you know?
Right.
And obviously a turtle, because turtles aren't very agile.
Mm-hmm.
And so they came up with this thing. It made like Peter Laird laugh. And they were just like, how do we, you know, capitalize on all of the popular comic book stuff going on right now? So it's like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Teenage was to capitalize on like Teen Titans, right, which is super popular at the time. Mutants to capitalize on X-Men.
Okay.
People knew X-Men as like mutants and yeah, stuff at the time. Ninjas and turtles obviously had their own sort of part in it, but they were also very like Daredevil was very popular at the time. That was when it like just started to get gritty.
Okay.
And so like part of the origin of the original Ninja Turtles is them getting the ooze on them,
right,
which is synonymous with Daredevil getting the ooze on his eyes,
right, right.
And then the Ninja Clan in Daredevil's the hand, yep, and then in here it's the Foot Clan. So they kind of like either ripped it off or did satire. I don't know how you want to look at it.
It worked, whatever
but
it was.
If it works, I guess it's just satire. Because it's, but like you can see how it got popular because it's just a really fun concept. Just seeing a bunch of turtles like run around and hit people with swords and sticks and stuff. It's just like, it just works so well. I don't know how they managed to do it.
I remember when I was a kid, it was my favorite thing ever just because it was so good. It was a great, you know, TV show that was on. I loved all, I bought all the toys and stuff, or I didn't buy them. My parents did, but, but yeah, I mean, it was just, it, I lived it. Like I had, I, like when I went in public, I had like the little size and I stuck it in my, my pants because I thought I was a Ninja Turtle. Like,
little belt loops or something?
Yeah, like it was my identity for
had
sure.
Had a little shell backpack on.
I have one still, legit, in my closet.
Oh my God.
Hell yeah.
That's awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, and it's just like the merchandising of it is just so crazy. And it's just one of those things where it kind of like took off once they sold it. Now they're both super rich, which is pretty good.
I bet.
Before I gave you this like comic for Christmas, have you ever read comics before?
I've read comics here and there. Like I have some on my shelf in my office. I haven't dove into all of them, but some of them I've looked into. This is my first Ninja Turtle comic, I believe. I've bought some more since.
Okay.
But this is probably my first one that I've had.
Dope.
Yeah,
dope.
Same. I never bought them like individual issues, I don't think.
Yeah, no.
I think I bought like number 100 when it came out because I was like, oh, this is cool, but I don't think I ever read it now that I think about it.
What is your guys' favorite turtle?
Donatello, hands down.
Really?
Who is this Donatello?
I do.
It's either...
He uses a bow staff, which is great. He's the Darth Maul of turtles. Let's be real.
I don't know if that's the case.
He's got a stick, okay.
Right? And he's a big nerd. Stick. He's super techie, right? He does all the tech stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's just me.
That is just
in
you.
A nutshell?
In a shell.
Yep. Half shell?
Get out.
Yep. No puns. I think you missed a sign. It says no puns past this door. Just kidding. It's not there. What's yours?
Leonardo.
Who's this Leonardo?
Yeah,
dude.
That's a weird
two swords?
One.
I guess it's pretty cool.
Two swords is so fucking cool.
He's got
and
such
he's
an
like.
Ego.
A little bit of an ego. Not as much as like Raphael or
he's
something.
He's got an anger problem, not an ego.
A little bit of an ego, too.
That's fair.
Who's the smart one? Is it Donatello?
Donatello.
I don't know. Leonardo, he's just like.
Is he the leader?
I feel like he's like.
Pseudo leader.
He's like the. He's the one with the blue.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like he's like, whenever I look at characters, I normally lean more towards like the safe ones, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like the ones who just aren't dickheads, the ones who just like don't really fuck up that much because I just want to see them do well, I guess. And so I just think like Leonardo's like the closest thing to that.
Okay.
And then the, you know, twin swords is cool.
Yeah, sure.
I guess I like Raphael the best. I don't know. I like them all a lot, but basic. I think typically like people's favorites is either Michelangelo or Raphael. Because they're the most, like, different.
Yeah. Michelangelo, just because I think him and my personality style is, like, the same.
Yeah.
But I think my favorite is Donatello, just because I like his what he kind of represents, being that nerd and bringing the tech in.
Yeah,
and, like, sure. Bo staff is one of my favorite weapons.
I think IGN had, like, a list a couple years ago of, like, top 100, like, just comic book characters. Mm-hmm. And I would like you guys to guess who you think was highest up on that list.
Of the Ninja Turtles?
Yes.
Raphael.
Michelangelo.
It was Raphael.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, he was like
everybody wants to be a bad boy.
Because if something's going to happen to a turtle, it'll be Raphael or Michelangelo, I feel like.
Point in case.
So there's a... Actually, I guess I have read TMNT comics. They came out with a series recently called The Last Ronin.
Oh, yeah.
And basically, the pitch is that three of the turtles died. One of them's still alive, but you don't know who it is because they're not wearing their mask.
Oh, yeah.
And their attitude is completely different now. Because obviously their three brothers are dead, and he's just trying to get redemption.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's really cool. Who did it end up being? Michelangelo?
Spoilers, bro.
I don't know. It's just
they say it at the end of the first issue.
I had this crazy like wallpaper background, right? Because I do all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was like one of the turtles, and he was on all fours, like in some alleyway, like all ripped up to shreds, like bleeding and stuff. And he had all the different color headbands of his comrades, like, you know, wrapped around his arm, mm-hmm. or like around his neck. I think it probably is related to the Ronin.
Probably a panel.
I was like, whatever that is, it's gonna be brutal. I want to see it.
It's really cool. Yeah, there's a point where he's like about to give up in seppuku. Is that what it's called? Where you like hit yourself with a sword. He's about to do that to himself.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
and then he gets a vision of Splinter or something, and it's like it's really brutal. I enjoyed it a lot. Actually.
Yeah, great book.
So
it's not done yet, but almost.
Yeah,
it'd be great, all collected and everything.
Yeah, it will be really cool. But this one, we'll just get right into it, I feel like.
Yeah, might
as well.
A
very basic origin story, I would say.
Guys,
it's a little confusing at the beginning.
You think it's basic?
I think we just know it.
I think, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like a Spider-Man almost.
Yeah, but I mean, outside looking in, it's a little different, though.
Yeah, no, that's why I like this so much, is because it's not what we are used to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's take the Ninja Turtles origin, tweak it a little bit, and then throw something in there so that you can split up sort of the timelines and mm-hmm. give yourself more context as you go. So I did like how they did it.
And make it gritty.
I don't like that they all wore red masks just at the top.
I was like, who's who?
I think that's how it was, like, OG. Like,
okay.
It was.
Where they just had the one color and then they eventually changed.
It was, but who cares?
Yeah.
Just give them the different ones right off the bat.
No, I
if
like
you're gonna reboot. Because on the cover of this, they all have the... Oh, no, they all have red, don't they?
Yeah, they do. They all have red.
Oh, shit.
Yep.
I thought they all had different ones.
You're so dumb.
I do. So they,
dude, they have the fucking weapons to differentiate them.
I know, but they don't have them out all the time. If they're just talking to Splinter in the
they
sewer.
They have different color green skin, Nathan.
They do, but it's very hard to distinguish the different hues.
I think Michelangelo's the darkest one.
No.
No?
Donatello's the black one.
Ah.
The black one.
Okay. He's the token turtle.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So... Chapter one, they did it in chapters, which I thought was interesting.
Issues.
How did this get released? Was it all just like one big 100-page thing?
No, it was just issues.
Really? Okay. Anyway.
Yeah, and this is just the trade.
So we get right into a fight scene. Splinter, and then there's three turtles that are fighting a cat villain named Old Hob. He's an anthropomorphic cat with an eye patch, and he has some sort of history with Splinter, and he also has something to do with the turtles not having Raphael. I think at the time we don't really know that it's Raphael specifically missing, but one of the turtles is missing. So you're like, that's weird. But
if you look at all their weapons and then figure out what's missing and the twin sizes are gone.
If you're a real Turtles fan,
then you'll know then you'll that know. Raphael is missing.
But Splinter gets into a fight with Hob while the other turtles fight his mob, and they're like not killing. I don't know if that's a typical thing that they do. They don't kill.
They don't kill.
Okay. Yeah. Why have a sword then? Why have two swords?
You can dismember somebody, but
that's fine then.
It's like
if they bleed out, that's on them.
Yeah, it's like the Batman thing. I'll beat him up and leave him in the snow, but I won't kill him myself.
I'll throw him off a roof, but it's the ground that kills him.
You can you know, slice people up.
Yeah,
give him a bunch of cuts to the body.
Yeah, give him a little
something
slicing,
to remember by.
Slice and dice. Then we get a flashback to April O'Neil. And she's normally like a newscaster, right?
I have no clue.
Yeah. Reporter.
That's okay. That's what I got from the movie. So I was like, that must be what it is normally. But here, she's an intern helping with research for genetic regeneration. Mm-hmm. And at the time, there are four young turtles that are part of the project as well. And there's a rat running around freely. And his name is Splinter, but he's part of another project. But he's like a nice little, like a little lab pet, I guess.
Mm-hmm. He's a house mouse.
He's a house mouse. Yeah, exactly. Well, cute little house mouse.
He keeps getting out of the cage. He can't, the guy running the experiment can't keep him in the cage, so he just lets him run free.
Yeah, exactly.
But he doesn't leave.
He's a very smart rat. It seems like something's already been done to him at some point because he's very intelligent. But behind the scenes of the research, we figure out it's being managed by this mysterious dude named General Krang. Who's that end up being?
Krang.
He's the dude with the brain inside the tummy of that big guy.
He looks like a big baby.
Mm.
Just look up.
It's like
Krang.
A MODOK kind of thing, right?
Kind of, yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, okay, I remember. I think I remember he was in the animated show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool that they didn't just go with Shredder, you know?
Yeah, just
go with a different one.
I couldn't remember who the bad guy was in this or if there was one. And if it just went straight to that, it would have been kind of bummed out.
I thought it was cool that they changed April O'Neil's origin to be a scientist rather than just like a newscaster that just happens to be involved with the turtles.
Yeah.
Because this way she's like a part of their origin, mm-hmm. like a little bit more. So I thought that was kind of cool. Then we kind of skip to the present day and we see the maskless turtle, Raphael, He's got his trench coat on and he's digging around for trash. And he walks by a house where he sees a drunk dad beating his kid. So he decides to kick the door down and start to intervene. I wonder how he got this trench coat. Did he just like find it somewhere, you think? Or
probably.
I can't imagine he walked into like a Target or anything, you know,
to buy a trench money. Coat.
There's something so pleasing about them having trench coats, though. Like, I feel like anytime there's like a big character that needs to like hide, like the Thing.
Yeah.
It's a trench coat.
No, it's a trench coat.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
It's the easiest way. I like how he sees a shirt that says Cowabunga and he just like throws it away.
F that.
That was funny.
So I thought, I don't know if this is like the normal kind of origin for Casey, but I thought it was kind of interesting that they added this kind of wrinkle to him. Like,
yeah, there's
his
kind
mom
of a tragic
dying and stuff
backstory.
Like that, and his dad's a dick.
Yeah, I don't really know much about his home life normally.
Yeah,
but I think this definitely adds a bit of like
zest.
Yeah, definitely. He's like a tough guy because he's got to deal with a lot, you know.
Right.
I like the way that the adult turtles are drawn. That's always been like very aesthetically pleasing. Like their big teeth.
Yeah.
Like some big teeth.
Their face is real wide.
Their eyes
like
are just dead white, like scorpion, you know?
Yeah.
Like I just like just they're drawn so interestingly.
And two fingers and a thumb.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Yeah. Yeah, the two fingers, that's crucial.
So like later we see them with like we see like Ralph without like his trench coat and shirt and stuff like that. And they just look so naked.
They do.
Without like just like a couple pieces of cloth. Like
yeah.
The one over their eyes, yeah. And like the belt one that they have. They just look so naked.
Some bandages
it's
around
kind
the
of
elbows. Yeah, it's very weird.
Yeah, it is weird. You know, you don't see the headband and you're just like, what's up, mom, bro?
It's just like a big bald head. And you're like, why? Yeah. What is this?
Yeah, I don't know why that makes the rest of their body just look naked, but.
It's like when a dog doesn't have a collar on. And you're like, what the hell? What are you doing?
Exactly.
It's funny.
You get
I didn't say this initially, but the story is by Kevin Eastman and Tom Waltz, and the art is by Dan Duncan, who I think does incredible with the turtles. So.
Dude, the fight scenes in this make me so happy.
I know.
It just looks really good all together.
I don't know why turtles look so good just like flying around with like swords and stuff, but it's just there's something so fun about it. It feels so natural. So yeah, Raphael fights the dad, throws him out of the house, and the dad decides to drive away. Probably still drunk, which I don't recommend anybody do. And then the kid says that...
Thanks for the PSA, Nathan.
Yeah, just so everybody knows.
We don't endorse that.
That's my hard stance on drunk driving.
We're totally don't cool with domestic abuse, but don't drink and drive.
Yeah.
Turtles against drunk driving.
And the kid, it's Casey Jones, he says it kind of happens all the time. And he's just wondering why a big green man just entered the house. You know, it's a bit weird.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the moment when they're fighting, when he's fighting the drunk dad and he goes to elbow him in the back and he obviously hits his like shell. So
yeah,
he's
yeah.
like, what the fuck was that? That's a fun part because he obviously can't see it through the trench coat. So there's some creative action going on. So
some advantages to being a turtle.
Some more backstory on their past. Some ninjas break into the lab while April is working and they want to steal the specimens, as they say. And while the ninjas are trying to take the specimens, Splinter sets off a fire alarm so the ninjas would run away. But then Splinter follows them as the rat, like he's just a normal rat, and he attacks one, which causes him to drop the turtles and the vials, which he had. And then they break, and then they leak onto the turtles, onto Splinter, and onto a nearby cat, which is carrying away a turtle. So... definitely an interesting way to get the ooze on the turtles, but it makes like way more sense, I feel like, than for it to just happen randomly, like by mm-hmm. happenstance.
Yeah.
Because I think that's how it normally, I think like the origin is basically Daredevil, but some of that ooze gets on turtles, you know, mm-hmm. like a barrel falls off of like a truck.
I don't know anything. You just watch the movies. It's much more fresh in your head.
Well, like in the movies, it's different. But like I think in like the original comic, since they were like making fun of Daredevil.
Right.
Or satiring Daredevil. It's like, it hits a kid, but like, ooh, it hits these turtles too. Like, there's a kid carrying, like, an aquarium of turtles.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I agree.
I forgot about that.
And I think it's also important to note here that during this whole battle with the rat and the cat in their, you know, animalistic form, the cat takes one of the turtles, which ends up, I think, being Raphael.
Yeah.
Kind of takes him off, which leads to that separation.
Yeah, he carries him in his mouth, and so you're like, oh, that must be Raphael. Because the other turtles are just, like, there together. And I think the turtles just in their normal turtle form are very cute. Like the way that they're drawn is just like black
adorable.
Circles for the eyes. And they just like they emote so well. It's pretty funny.
Very derpy.
In the present, the turtles ask Splinter if they think they'll ever find the missing Raphael. He's been missing for 15 years, which seems kind of crazy. Like,
what?
Yeah.
No, it's been like a year.
No, it's like 15 years.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Cause
I think you're wrong.
I think in one of the explanations of why Hobb hates Splinter, it says like 15 years ago.
No shot, dude.
Yeah, I don't know about
I'll find
that.
It.
Then,
15 months earlier.
Yeah. Okay.
Ah,
15
shit.
Years?
Yeah, April would be like an old lady.
I was about to say, I was like, this is a big plot hole to just not find a random green turtle walking around
for
15
years. I was like, it was
years.
Like a year, I swear.
Okay, I understand now. I was reading too
They're
fast.
Just searching for 15 years?
Yeah, that's why I agreed with them. I was like, that is a long time to be looking for one guy.
My question is, how do they get ninja skills in 15 months, and where can I sign up for that?
Splinter.
Oh, it's fair.
He was a smart rat in his past life.
It's true.
Splinter's also a satire on the Daredevil character Stick.
Oh.
Instead of Stick, it's Splinter.
Yeah. That makes
oh my
more
god.
Sense
instead
now.
Of the hand, it's the foot. Yeah. There's like a lot of ripping stuff off.
That feels so dumb.
But I love that.
Yeah,
I never made
kinda,
that connection.
I know.
It's kind of. I was telling all this to Sophia unsolicited. I was basically mansplaining Ninja Turtles, which is like her favorite thing. Like,
has she seen Daredevil?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
She's seen
it's like my favorite show of
she's
all time.
So good.
No, she hasn't seen the Netflix show. She's seen the movie.
Ah.
She loves Elektra because of it.
Stick isn't in that, is he?
No. I haven't seen it in forever.
I don't remember.
I don't think so.
I think I was first introduced to him on the Netflix thing.
Exactly.
No, Stick is part of the like Frank Miller run of Daredevil.
I'm
like,
sure, but I don't think in the original movie he was
I don't
was
think
part
he was. No. Yeah, I think they just like took that out. But yeah, like Ninja Turtles is like Sophia's favorite. And so while all this was going, I was like, I'm just going to flex some comic book news real quick. And
I know you're busy, but I'm going to force
I know you're watching this movie, but let me mansplain something for you real quick. So anyway, yeah, in the present, the Turtles ask Splinter if they're ever going to find the missing Raphael. And Splinter spits off some wisdom as he does and says that they need to keep looking out and they shouldn't be inciting any more violence and trying to figure out this Hobbs situation, you know? And meanwhile, Casey Jones finds out that Raphael got amnesia and he doesn't even remember his own name or where he came from. But they decide to go out for some food and potentially knock out some more goons. And he takes out his mask. It's like the skull mask. Mm-hmm. I guess he just had that on hand.
It's a hockey mask because he's
it is a hockey mask.
And he's got a scholarship.
But do hockey masks look like that?
Or no. Goalie like, masks.
What's up?
I think goalie masks look a little bit different.
You must have found a custom one then, because he's like, oh yeah, it's just my hockey mask. It's whatever. Don't think anything about it.
The iconic Punisher looking.
Yeah.
Yeah, like hockey players don't even have like the Jason Voorhees mask or anything.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It's just like a glass thing. So, it doesn't even cover their mouths. That's ridiculous.
Ugh. So would you think that would be a reference to Punisher then?
I guess if...
Because Punisher is Marvel, right?
Yeah.
But this isn't Marvel.
Right, but these guys rip off all the other things,
all of Daredevil,
right?
Yeah.
I feel like if this...
There's
be
probably
anything,
tons of inspiration from
yeah,
it. Yeah,
yeah I'm sure.
I would think so, because the skull logo is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. It looks more like the Punisher logo than like just like a normal skull, you know?
Right, because yeah, exactly. It's got those three lines that go down and the where the mouth is. It looks very Punisher-esque.
Yeah, probably. Just Punisher without guns.
If you knew nothing about like the Ninja Turtles and you just saw this guy's mask, he looks like a bad guy.
He does. But that's kind of the cool thing. He's a bad boy, you know?
He's a bad boy.
Yeah. It's crazy that, like, Stephen
He lives
Amell,
at his dad's house.
It's crazy that Stephen Amell played Casey Jones in, like, the Michael
oh, I didn't
Bay
even
movies.
See, I didn't even see that one.
Yeah.
But I totally forgot about that.
The guy
that.
Who plays, like, Green Arrow in the Arrow show plays
Does
Casey
he?
Jones. Yeah.
In what?
In the Michael Bay.
The second Michael Bay Ninja Turtles movie.
What? I gotta rewatch that.
Yeah. He, like, rollerblades and stuff. It's weird.
That's weird.
Which I think he does in the show... Or something? He like rollerblades around?
Well, roller hockey, I would assume.
Oh, yeah. That's what it is. He's just not, it's not like his hobby. It's like part of his identity is the hockey.
Yeah.
So, chapter 3, Raphael and Casey stop a purse snatcher. And then when they go to return the purse, the old lady's like, what the fuck? And she runs away. So that's pretty fun. And there's some guys that see them sort of fucking around and they're like, we should tell Hobb about this. And so the reader's like, oh, that's no good. And then the rest of the turtles are training and sort of asking about Hobb. But, this is, like, the point. When they're, like, training and stuff all together, that's when I noticed that each turtle is, like, a slightly different color. Mm-hmm. So very slowly through reading this, I've been just trying to figure out who each of them were. Because here, they don't have their weapons, Daniel.
Yeah.
So I'm like, who the fuck is who?
Yeah.
Who's punching who? Is it Michelangelo? You don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But they are different colors.
I see.
So, yeah. The origin of the hatred between Hobb and Splinter is 15 months prior. When the cat's like walking away with Raphael in his mouth, Splinter gets into a fight with that cat and bites the fuck out of its eye, which is why he has an eye patch now.
Yeah.
And Splinter gets scratched up. He gets a nice little scratch on his leg there. And then when the cat runs away, he goes to gather the rest of the turtles. And then the ninjas from before intervene. And Splinter and the turtles fall into the sewers. And it's just the three turtles. And Raphael isn't there. Mm-hmm. So when he wakes up, the ooze turned both Splinter and the three turtles into like these anthropomorphic figures, but they're still like,
yeah, you've seen them.
Yeah, yeah. You're familiar.
It's a buff rat.
It is a buff rat.
I know, they just all wake up jacked.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like it took like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
I need me some of that.
And Splinter's pretty metal as like a young rat. Like, he just went after like this cat's eye and just bit the fuck out of it.
I know.
Just decided to get scrappy.
Check the turtles.
Yeah. And just they felt like a pretty good distance when they fell through that sewer. It was like a solid 20 feet. So luckily they landed on their shells. I don't know if that hurts them. Probably.
Probably
a soft shell turtle.
Are they soft shell turtles? They seem pretty young.
Probably not. Hmm.
Are there like soft shell turtles when they like grow up? Mm-hmm. Really?
It's like a soft spot on a baby.
Yeah. So they're it's like a more leathery type of shell instead of like a hard shell. So.
Interesting. Has anybody ever pet a turtle here?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have.
You never touched a turtle?
I owned one for a while.
Oh, okay, cool.
I found one in my apartment complex, a little box turtle.
I didn't want to pet a turtle, but when I went snorkeling one time, there was a turtle that like saw the group of people, and I guess he's familiar with like tourists going snorkeling, and so he was swimming.
He probably
up.
Works there.
Yeah, he's probably paid. But he like saw the group, and then he like locked eyes with me, it seemed like, and he
that
swam
terrifying.
At me, and I was like, what do I do? But I was snorkeling, so my face is in the water, and I didn't want to be like, hello, what do I do? So it just kind of like came up to me, and then I was able to pet it, but I was very scared that
he's
gonna
swim
like
past you basically and let
It was like Finding Nemo, like, you know, that the big turtle.
Oh yeah,
150 year old turtle. It was like,
oh,
it was like a big turtle.
Galapagos, like a big one.
It seemed like a, yeah,
it's like awesome. A sea turtle.
I was in like the Caribbean at the time, so whatever they have over there.
That's so cool.
What's his name? Tank or something?
Like Tank, yeah. Or Crush.
Crush is a little one though.
Crush is a little one.
Oh, what's the big one?
Crash?
Crash and Crush?
I think so. Does that sound wrong? I gotta look it up now.
Yeah, do it. Is it Hank? No, that's wrong.
It's Hank?
Hank the Turtle.
The most original name.
Is it like an actual name or is it like a adjective?
Do they ever?
Crush, yeah.
It's Crush?
Crush is the big one.
Who's the little one? Is it Squirt?
Squirt.
Oh. Crush would be a cool name for the little turtle though.
That would be.
Yeah, he's the one that, Crush is the one that calls him Jellyman.
Jellyman. Okay, for sure.
All right, anyway, so the,
see, don't they look so naked?
They do.
It makes me uncomfy.
It looks like their chest part that like is just like, I don't know, armor that they like put on. It doesn't look like it's right. It looks like it's glued to them or something. It doesn't really like seem like part of their anatomy.
Mm-hmm. Really short cooking apron.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Really sexy cooking apron.
Right? Yeah, I gotta get one now. They have to make them.
There's a Ninja Turtles cooking apron. So yeah, in the present, the three turtles are going on patrol. And they're like, this is kind of pointless to do like the same thing every day to try and find Raphael when they don't even know if he's like still alive. So Leo pushes back on the idea of going to find Hobbs instead. But they kind of like argue back and forth a little bit and they kind of just settle on still patrolling and looking for Raphael, but also just fighting some goons along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, Casey and Raphael are getting some hot dogs. And they start chasing these two crooks, which leads them directly to Hobbs and his crew. But I really like that last scene because they're getting hot dogs and then two guys just run past them and like push them and they drop their hot dogs. And then they run into like Hobbs. You'd think if you're like a master villain, you would just like just go get him, you know?
Yeah.
Like, why do you need to slap a hot dog out of their hands and then cause them to chase you? Like, was that part of the plan? They're just like
mad.
Sitting outside of a hot dog stand.
Maybe to kind of like lure them to
these
people.
Yeah, I guess to somewhere else. That's true. But I just think it's funny. Like, they're probably going to go to this hot dog stand, so we'll just stay here.
Mm-hmm.
So, chapter four. So, seeing Hobbs triggers a bit of Raphael's memory of being lost as a turtle. It turns out at that scene where Splinter fights Hobbs for the first time, he just kind of like turns the corner. And Splinter doesn't have a chance to find him. So Hobbs wants revenge for his eye, so they start to overwhelm Casey and Raphael. And then we get another flashback to Hobbs partnering with General Krang's like research people to get revenge on Splinter. And then,
yeah, because I guess they need, like, since they lost those like chemicals or whatever, the sample things.
Yeah.
They are able to extract it from their blood.
So, yeah, they're like the assets that they still need now. Mm. And so
they don't know what happened to these turtles and they got all big until just this giant cat comes out and they're like, oh, I'll help.
Yeah, and he's like, yeah, I mean? As long as I can kill them, I'll bring them back to you.
Do you need them alive?
And I guess they're like, sure, man, if you can do it. Which is insane. But, yeah, and then we get the scene where Splinter, like, first names the turtles, the three young turtles, which is... of course, Leonardo, Michelangelo, Donatello. One time at school, this just like popped up a random like core memory in my head. But we were supposed to do like some sort of book report, and somebody did one on Ninja Turtles and emailed either Kevin Eastman or Peter Laird to ask if they like named the turtles based off of like the artists.
That's a dumb question.
The Renaissance artists. And I think the answer was no.
What?
I'm probably wrong about this, or maybe I'm remembering it wrong, but I remember being like, he's
no
just fucking
shot,
around.
No.
Yeah. But it was cool that he like emailed back.
That is
like,
pretty sick.
That's insane, yeah.
I'm like, what did Kevin Eastman just do for this random little boy?
Yeah, so do you think he would base it off the artist because he is an artist himself, or the legendary figures?
I don't know.
Probably just to give him a name, I guess.
Probably the artist, I would say. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Wait, there's differences between... Is there other Michelangelos out there in Raphael's?
No, I think I was trying to communicate a point, and I totally effed that up. So,
so you were saying like...
Yeah, because Michelangelo is a famous painter. Donatello was the astronomer?
I don't know.
Because there's like no way though he just like makes up those names. You
yeah,
know?
And they happen to match
those
up
all
with
four.
Like...
The only reason you know those names are because of the people, you know?
Yeah. He's probably come out and said... why, but I just remember at the time as a kid that I was like, holy shit, they got the TMNT guy.
Yeah,
they email him.
Yeah,
it's insane. So yeah, in the present day, Casey's getting he got knocked out with a brick fighting Hobbs guys, and Raphael's getting a little bit overwhelmed, and just as Hobbs is about to shoot Raphael point blank, he's stopped with ninja stars and sees that it's the other three turtles joining the fight. And
I didn't know they had ninja stars.
Yeah, I was about to say, do they have shurikens normally? Do they all have them? Or, like, what's going on there?
It's part of ninjutsu to have shurikens.
Okay, so they...
Shurikens, what ninja stars are called?
Shurikens, I think.
Shurikens, interesting.
Yeah. So they all have them.
Have you ever thrown one of those?
Yeah, I have. I'm not very good at it.
It's legit.
Yeah. I
thought a playing card really hard.
I went to, like, the Renaissance Festival, mm-hmm. and they have... place where you could throw knives, shurikens, bow and arrow. I'm not good at any of it. Axe throwing is pretty easy,
yeah.
But the other shit's really hard.
I lost my security deposit because...
What a great way to start a sentence.
So we had a Nathan Drake stand-up, kind of like your Chewbacca one over here.
Uh-huh.
And I had this dull, like, for show shuriken, and my friend...
Or so you thought.
Yeah, my friend at the time and I were like, what if we sharpen it? And so we sharpened it on one side on all four of the points and then threw it. It went directly through the cardboard and straight into the wall. And we were like, well, it happened. Let's keep doing it.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, I guess we did it once. Like, well, damage is done.
Yeah, damage is done.
You probably could have fixed one hole with some cock.
Yeah, true.
That's
funny. That was a good time.
That was a good segue from shuriken talk. So Raphael takes on Hobbs directly while the other three turtles fight his crooks. And Raphael beats up Hobbs and he's like super angry and almost kills him out of anger. But he's kind of stopped by the others. So we kind of get a little bit of a hint of his like anger issues, I guess, kind of originating here. But the other Ninja Turtles stop him. They call him brother and he's like, my brothers? And then they bring him back to Splinter for just a nice ending.
I like how he's like, wait, you're my brothers? Like, you're the only thing, that look like this.
For the last
you're
15 months.
You're clearly a little connected.
You're the only big green man you've known in the last 15 months.
Like, and then three really, just pop up.
Yeah, exactly. But I really like this fight scene because you can kind of tell that Raphael doesn't have the ninja training because he just like wrestles Hobbs. He doesn't like do any sort of like kung fu or anything. He just like bites him
and
like
strength.
Yeah, basically. And then the other ones are just like flipping around and like taking down the other goons.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't notice that.
Yeah, so I think that's kind of a cool attention to detail.
Yeah, I like that.
And yeah, we didn't see colored masks the whole time, which I was kind of expecting. But
sorry, I guess you got to keep reading, Nathan.
I guess so. I need to see how they get their masks and what colors they choose. Mm-hmm. Can turtles even see color? Are they like dogs?
I
don't know either.
I think dogs are the only things that are like dogs.
True.
But
all right, so now we'll get into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
So this is the Back Matter, where it starts with like the art gallery, and we see the different like covers and stuff. So
seems like they're mostly done by the people who were like
in the book. Yeah. So we have the first two that are Dan Duncan, who does the art in the book. And then we have Walter Simonson.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Who's a crazy artist who mainly does like old school Thor and stuff like that. But he's
so wide.
Yeah. They're very wide turtles.
I think this is a very fun one.
Definitely more circular. But I like what he does with their weapons, where they're all kind of like perpendicular of each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's kind of cool.
Even the nunchucks.
Mm hmm. And then the next one is Kevin Eastman, or the next couple are Kevin Eastman. So one of the original creators, he still does art in books and stuff. I think he's doing The Last Ronin, isn't he? Could be wrong about
that. I
can't
remember.
Maybe he's only writing. But yeah, I think he...
His art style is really cool.
I like
his style a lot.
He nails gritty.
Oh, yeah.
Like something about the silly concept, but then like making it gritty is just so cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, I think he did the cover of the trade, too.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it looks the same. With all the cross-hatching and stuff that's in there, mm-hmm. it definitely right. lends to that gritty, gritty style.
Yeah, I like how just, like, dirty almost he makes him seem mm-hmm. with, like, the scratches that he does in the cross-hatching. Very cool. And then a couple black and white ones, and he's clearly nailed drawing these guys over the years.
Yeah.
Then there's a more cartoony one from Fred Hembeck. I don't know who that is, but he seems like he would be... somebody popular.
I feel like he'd do like animation for like a cartoon or something.
Yeah, I'm gonna look it up real quick.
This reminds me of like Calvin and Hobbes.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I don't know what that dude's about. But he is an American cartoonist best known for parodies of characters from major American comic book publishers. So yeah, we got a couple of his covers. We got a Sam Keith one, which I think is interesting.
Interesting take, not my favorite.
Yeah, he's a kind of a more twisted, sort of demented kind of artist. He's done like a series called The Max, which is really leaning into that kind of heavy style. But yeah, he's known definitely for being a bit weird.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's the Back Matter.
So just variants, you know.
Yeah, just variants. Sometimes you'll see
kind of vanilla, but whatever.
Yeah, sometimes you'll see like scripts or like original character designs. Obviously these characters have existed, but sometimes you'll see like a design for a character that's drastically different than what they went with for the actual book. So that's typically cool to see.
Panel layouts.
Yeah, they had that kind of stuff in comics. That's really neat to see. It's like a post-credits kind of deal.
Yeah, kind of. It's like a behind-the-scenes thing. You know, you can go see the movie, but if you get the DVD, you get the behind-the-scenes stuff.
Yeah, it's bonus content.
Yeah, basically. But that kind of stuff only exists in trades.
That's cool.
So that's one of the cool things. That's why it's a segment. We have a rating system on this show where we don't do 1 through 5 stars. We kind of just equate it to restaurants that have different naming conventions for their food sizes.
Okay.
And we just kind of match it up somehow with there.
Sure.
So a popular one that we do is Cold Stone. There's like it, love it, gotta have it.
Right.
Or if you want to do like a 16-inch pizza, you know, I guess that would make sense for...
Let's do pizza for this
one. Yeah, we'll do... So, okay, so the pizza that you think most represents this comic book, you know, I would say this is a Meat Lovers for me. Mm-hmm. From Domino's, we'll say.
Okay.
It's a special that they're having. You know, I'm feeling pizza.
Like a $7.99 carryout deal?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I got exactly what I was looking for, you know.
Yeah.
And I wanted as much pizza as I can get, so I got the Meat Lovers, you know. Whereas this is like, I just wanted some
on
TMNT.
That deal, you only get 3 toppings.
I'll get a Meat Lovers deal then.
Okay.
doesn't necessarily have to be $8, but
that is a great deal.
I think that equates to this book because I just wanted some TMNT. We got the most recent TMNT one, and it's as much pizza as I wanted because it was Meat Lovers, you know?
You know, I was thinking that, like, same exact thing. So I'll go with that one as well. Because, okay. Like, it's not, like, my favorite pizza in the world, but it is, like, one that I really like, and it's almost like a go-to.
What's your favorite Meat Lovers?
The Bronx at Gus's.
Oh, okay.
That one fucking slaps.
Okay, cool.
But, yeah, just kind of get a normal Domino's, I think, is a good pick.
Yeah.
I've read this before, so coming back to it was nice, but I remember the first time I was reading it, I was like, I couldn't predict anything, and it wasn't expected, like things that happened. And so, and it was a fresh take on the book and like the concept. So I really enjoyed it. And just good old fun Ninja Turtle action.
Yeah, exactly.
I think for me, this would be a pepperoni.
Okay.
Okay. With stuffed crust.
Oh, nice.
Ooh, okay. And, good choice.
And Rosati style, where the pepperoni is underneath the cheese, because you know what you're getting, but you don't know exactly what's in there.
Perfect. You nailed this.
It's like you've That's been on the podcast. Praise, yeah. Right?
I've never.
I really liked this comic. I think it was really well done. It did it in a different way than what I was expecting, but it all felt familiar in my mouth.
Okay, good. Don't put the comic book in your mouth if you're reading this. You can if you want, I guess.
Yeah, I guess if that's your jam.
I'm not going to stop
That's
you.
A high praise, though. I've never rated a comic book a pizza with stuffed crust.
Yeah, never.
That's for stuff you really like.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I like that a lot. So,
okay.
Very good. Very good. So now we'll get into the pull list, : shove it in your box.
The pull list, what did you shove in your box?
So, Brian, the pull list, we called it that because when you go to a comic shop and you have a series that you want to follow, you can choose in that comic book shop to have it added to your pull list.
Okay.
So they have your name, and when books come in, they recognize that Nathan wants a Green Lantern book, so they put it in my box. And so for this segment, we just name all the things that either we read this week or just things that we watched or video games or anything like that. Mm-hmm. We normally start with what we picked up at the comic shop this week. And I had a pretty dead week. I don't know about you.
There's like a bunch of things I was picking up that I haven't started reading, but you know, they are coming out. Like mm-hmm. The X Lives of Wolverine 2 came out. I didn't even read the first one.
So, but you picked it up anyway.
Yeah. Woman Without Fear, number 2.
Okay.
Fantastic Four Life Story, the last issue came out.
Did you even start that one yet?
Sure didn't.
Okay, nice.
Then the Image timeline. Got to get some of that. Mm-hmm. Some Wikipedia reading. Or whatever.
Nice.
And then there's also a Star Wars High Republic one.
So there's also like another Star Wars series that started. It was like Halicron or something like that. Did you see that? Did you go to Ash?
Yeah. I saw that. I didn't get it. I think it's like a Star Wars Adventures one. Mm. So there's a series called Star Wars The High Republic. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, that universe like 150 years before Phantom Menace.
Okay.
So
okay.
You kind of get to see.
So it's how, the prequel like, prequel.
The prequels to the prequels. Mm-hmm. And so you just kind of, it's really cool to see how like the world is prior to what we know, you know?
I like
yeah.
It.
There's like no Skywalker stuff involved. It's sure. Just Star Wars being Star Wars.
It's like the Wild West of Jedi.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. A little bit. So that's cool.
But I also went to Zia and picked up a few things.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I love Zia.
Had a coupon.
Okay, great.
Hey, Grandma. No, I mean, I got the coupon because I think I spent too much last time I went. So they're just like, here.
You're coming back.
We know you'll be back.
Yeah. So I got the second deluxe trade of The Boys.
Oh, nice.
Yep. So excited for season whatever.
3.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. So I got that. Also, they had a copy of Super Crooks, which I really liked. So I just kind of wanted a physical copy.
Mm-hmm.
So I got that one.
How was that?
The book?
Either. I know there's a show on Netflix. I
started
believe.
The anime. I'm not finished with it. So they did.
How is it?
So I like it. I think it's good. I'm excited to like finish it. The book was only like 4 issues. So it was like as long as this. And it was the whole story.
Cool.
But the anime is like 13 episodes, whatever. So they're adding a lot. So I'm just kind of getting used to that. But yeah, I think it's good. I like the concept a lot. It's just these villains that do a heist and they are stealing from an even bigger villain.
Oh, okay.
It's just really cool.
Nice. I didn't really get a chance to check it out. So I'm glad that you brought it up because I wanted to get insight into that.
Yeah. For that one, I would maybe give it like 2 episodes because the first one's kind of like this prequel episode that I don't think you really get the feel of what the show is until like the second or third episode.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
So there's that one. And then remember that Mark Miller book, Nemesis?
Yeah.
I couldn't find it in print anywhere, like to order online. And they don't have it on like Comixology or anything.
Really?
Yeah. So I couldn't find it. It's not on Hoopla, but they had it at Zia for like $4. So I got it.
Oh, wow. Must be good.
So, yeah. So I think it's going to be adapted into something. But
probably.
Yeah. I was just really excited to see it because like, oh, this is like really hard to find for some reason.
Yeah, so that's cool.
Like, you can pay like overpriced on like some weird website to get it, but yeah, I just kind of got lucky.
Very cool.
But
I only picked up two books, and I picked up Green Lantern.
Of course you did.
Are you still picking up? Wait, what? You're still picking up Green Lantern?
Yeah, it's only like three issues behind.
Who's doing that one? Sam Humphrey.
It's fuck. Who's doing it? Hold on, I know. Dexter Soy.
That you're a fan.
Dexter Soy is an artist.
He's on it.
He is?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. See?
That'd be great to see.
Hold on. Jeffrey Thorne is the one writing it.
Wow. I don't know him.
Pretty fun so far. I'm a couple issues behind, but I'm going to get caught up.
Okay.
And I picked up The Excellent, which is an X-Men book.
Okay.
Drawn by Mike Allred, and it's Peter Milligan. It's just like a offshoot X-Men team. They're weird and they're groovy. So, and the artist
is groovy.
Yeah, it's like the artist drawing it, he does groovy as good as you could hope for. So, I picked that one up because I'm a big fan of his.
Did you read it or no?
No, okay. I picked it up like on the way here. So, didn't have time to read anything.
Okay.
But as far as books I read this week, I found this like, I was organizing my comics and I found this really old Green Lantern issue that I don't remember buying anywhere, but it had like a 12-cent cover price. It was like the 24th issue of like Hal Jordan being Green Lantern, and it was really shitty quality, so I probably paid like a couple bucks for it.
Okay.
But I like looked through that because I was like, this is weird, and there's a shark that becomes a villain called like an anthropomorphic villain called the Shark, and then he fights Green Lantern, and when Green Lantern beats him, he turns back into a shark. and that's what that comic book is.
I like it.
Man, they should reuse that villain.
Yeah, they should. That's what I'm saying.
That's funny.
So I was just like, comics were so bad back then. But I remember looking at the ad on the inside, and I tweeted it out because I thought it was funny. But you could buy a bike windshield that like hooks onto your handlebars for like $5. And I'm like, that probably isn't very good. You could buy
bike windshield.
See behind glasses. So there's like
little
stickies that are like mirrors. They're basically just rear view mirrors for your glasses. You could also just turn around.
Can never be snuck up on.
Yeah, but that was a good one. And an actual exploding hand grenade that you could buy. So those were two of the things.
It's so weird. It's so
like,
random.
There was like a secret camera. And it was like supposed to be like a small camera, but it was like size of your hand, basically. That was like a secret camera back then. So I don't know. Just a bunch of really funny like old ads to look at.
That's good.
And then I read like Devil's Reign, which is like the Marvel event going on right now. But that's about it. Okay. I started reading Saga because it's going to be our 100th episode. We're going to read all of it.
There was another thing. I don't know if it's close or I have to. I'm drawing a blank right now. I'm so bad at this. But it's called like Below, I think is what it's called. It's another kind of anthology deal.
Oh, okay.
That one's a really good. I'll bring that one for you guys to check out. But that was a really good one.
It's a comic?
Comic, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I'll text you a picture of it so you can check it out. But
That's cool.
I really liked it. It was something super unique.
You said an anthology?
Maybe. It's a thicker book, kind of like this.
Mm.
But it takes place where everybody is below sea level, like deep, deep.
I read this.
Mm, okay.
I really enjoyed that, and I wanted to read more of it. I just haven't
done right. It. Okay, for sure.
Yeah, I want to say Below or something like that is what it's called.
Yeah.
Have you
Low?
Let me see.
Oh, I've heard of Low, yeah.
I think so.
Have you read or watched anything like the past week or something?
I've been watching Book of Boba Fett, so that's been really good.
Wow.
So I'm caught up on that, episode 5, I think.
Okay, we'll dive deep into that. Anything else you want to mention?
Discovery of Witches.
Was that?
And it's based off of a book. So it's a book called Discovery of Witches, and basically it's like a more grown-up Twilight. I guess.
Love that.
Yeah. Well, so it's this witch, right? And she's going to do, she's like a research assistant or something like that. And so she stumbles upon this book. It's like super, super old. And it's some supernatural book that like infuses with her, and she gets a little bit of knowledge or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they have these creatures, right? So they have witches, and they have vampires, and they have what are called demons. But they're just like, normal, everyone's like a normal person, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, vampires can do all vampire-y things, but demons, as far as demons are concerned, I haven't seen them kind of change or look any different. I don't really even know what makes them a creature, but it's this whole kind of kinship, I wouldn't even say kinship, but there's like a coven a covenant between the three factions to kind of keep power in check and that kind of thing.
Okay.
But it's there's a, you know, a love between the witch and the vampire, and it breaks the coven rules and all this other stuff. But it's really good, really well done. I enjoy it. It's on its third season.
So it's like a live action show? Or
live action. Animated? Live action.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Interesting.
So it's filmed. It's really good. The what I just watched... I just watched the new Kingsman movie, The Kingsman.
Oh, did you like it?
It was really good. I really enjoyed that. It was really, really well done. Definitely got some twists in there that I did not expect. Okay. But they were good twists.
Nice.
It really pulls on the heartstrings in a good way. It was great. Great, sweet. Great movie.
Cool. Yeah.
You seen the other two?
Oh, yeah, of course.
I haven't seen the second one, but really? I really enjoyed the first one. So where would you rate The Kingsman on just comparing those two?
I would say first one,
mm-hmm.
Kingsman... And then Golden Circle, which is the second one.
Okay, cool.
It's kind of what I expected.
Yeah, me too.
As long as it's in between there.
Yeah, it looked like it had some fun action and stuff just based off some trailers.
Oh, always good. Always good.
So that's cool.
Cool. Very neat. Cool. Me and Sarah started watching Kim's Convenience. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
So I've seen like a lot of clips of it on like TikTok, and it's just this like Korean like dad, and he like runs a convenience store that, and he lives upstairs, things like that.
Okay.
And it's got Simu Liu, the guy who plays Shang-Chi. He's like his son in it.
Yeah, I know he was in some sort of comedy before. Yeah,
yeah. It's very jarring just to see Shang-Chi like just walk in, you know. And I'm like, okay. And watching, we're on season two already.
Oh wow!
So it's like 13 episodes, 20 minutes each.
Live action?
Yeah, it's a comedy. It's super fucking funny. Cool. I think it's hilarious. You should give it a shot. Like there's a like in the first episode, there's like a gay pride parade that goes through, and it seems like a lot of the things that the jokes are about are kind of you know, big controversial kind of things that people kind of
some hot buttons,
but they handle it really well, and it's told in a really funny way.
Nice.
But so there's the gay pride parade that comes through, and he like hates the gay pride parade just because it's like really shitty for traffic and things like that, but nothing like discriminatory or anything.
Just hates that there's an event going on.
And he said that while like some gay people were in his store. He's like, why do you hate the gay pride parade? And then he like explains, he's like, oh, you don't think it's for any other reason? He's like, no, I love the gays. And he's got this thick accent. It's hilarious. He's like, and then he's like, I'll prove I love the gays because I have a gay discount. And so 15% off everyone in the parade or whatever.
That's funny.
And he's like, how do you know if someone's gay? He's like, I know. It's just like so funny. It's great. It's like it's a lot of dad comedy too, because he's like a dad making jokes. Nice. But it's a lot of fun. I recommend it.
That's cool.
And it's super easy just to blow through.
Nice. That's a good recommendation.
I also gave the first episode of Euphoria a shot. Not for me, but
I could see why. But
what's Euphoria again?
Zendaya's in high school and she does drugs. It's on HBO Max.
Okay.
And that's about it.
Okay. Yeah.
And there's also other kids in it who also do drugs.
So Sophia made me watch it. Not made me watch it. I was like, is this good? And she like loves it. So I was like, I'll give it a shot. And then after the first episode, I was like, I don't know. Because it is very uncomfortable. They're really good at making you uncomfortable.
There's a lot of dicks in it. A
lot of dicks.
So many dicks.
Apparently they're all fake though. They look very
apparently.
Real.
CGI dicks?
No, like makeup.
Like prosthetic, I guess.
Yeah, prosthetic. Interesting. Yeah.
I don't know. I was watching Sarah watch like the second season because I told her to like move forward. And there's like this shower scene with like a bunch of like the, I don't know, kids in it, I guess. They're not actually kids, but, and I don't know. Cause
is that
all
a party?
No, it was like a gym locker room almost.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, I don't know. That doesn't look like it's prosthetic. Cause I feel if you put that over your normal dick, it's going to look much bigger. But
that's
it
what
wasn't.
I'm saying. It just looks, you know, like, what I mean? Yeah, I don't know. So.
He's just soft.
I watched the first episode of the second season, and it's pretty insane. So
yeah.
I do enjoy it. I think it's like, it's an A24 production.
Sure.
So everything about it's very like technically like very good.
Yeah.
The editing's incredible. The score is incredible. The acting is definitely A1. And they handle a lot of really tough to think about situations, I think, very well.
Okay.
And, yeah, I think it's good. It's definitely not for everybody, and I understand that, but it makes me stressed, and I don't have a show that makes me stressed right now, so I'm gonna watch it.
I'm personally not a big fan of the stressy shows. Yeah, you know, I loved it. Now that's over. Mm-hmm. You know, what
yeah,
I mean?
Exactly.
Because it's, I can look back on it and be like, wow, that was really.
It's
good.
Like one of those shows for me right now where I'm like, I hate watching this when I'm watching it, but when I'm done, I was like, holy shit, that was a ride.
Yeah.
So it's kind of one of those.
So speaking of high quality, did you guys watch The Gentlemen by Guy Ritchie?
Oh yeah,
dude. So good,
so good. I've been trying to get him to watch this since it came out.
Watch it.
No, you tried
right now.
You said one time.
No, I've said it like three times. I could probably.
It's really all of Guy Ritchie stuff is super good, with the exception of Wrath of Man, the one with Jason Statham that came out last year.
Wasn't that bad?
That was garbage. That shit was hot garbage. I hated it.
I don't know about hot garbage.
So bad. Anyway, but maybe Gentleman was really good. We just watched it again the other night, so that's why I brought
the
it
one
up.
Matthew McConaughey.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. He yeah. does such a killer.
He
job.
Has been trying to get me to watch that.
But, it is a really good fucking movie.
He's doing a new movie. It comes out in the next couple
Already?
Of weeks. Yeah, yeah. It comes out the next couple of weeks.
Didn't he do The King's Man? Or is that
No? It's not Guy Ritchie.
That's Matthew Vaughn.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking.
Matthew Vaughn is also a very good director. Yeah, he's got like British crime shit as well. Mm-hmm. That's really good.
What was he doing?
He's doing this. I forget what the name of it off the top of my head, but it's another kind of like, it's got Jason Statham in it, and it's got Hugh Grant, and of all people, it's got Josh Hartnett.
Josh who?
Josh Hartnett.
Josh Hartnett.
That sounds so familiar. Hold on.
Oh, look him up, you young people.
Oh, my God.
From 40 Days of Night.
Oh, yeah, of course.
That mm-hmm. guy. But yeah, it looks really good. Really, really good. I'm super excited about it. I love the way he tells his stories. That's with cool. the hard cuts and the voiceover narration. Mm-hmm. Super, super good. So I'm
Operation
really excited
Fortune?
About that. That's the one.
Huh. That sounds fun.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Sick. I didn't know he was coming out with something so soon. That's mm-hmm. awesome. Very yeah, because cool. I was looking forward to Wrath of Man, you know, new movie thing like that. And then I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, because it just came out. I'm like, oh, it'll probably be a little while until he makes like another one.
So bad.
That's cool. When does this come out?
I want to say soon, like the next couple of weeks. I think I was looking at what's releasing soon, and it was on the list.
March 18th, yeah.
Nice.
Josh wow. Hart.
That'll be good right before my tattoo.
What are you getting?
I'm going to do an entire left sleeve
oh, wow.
of all ghost-type Pokemon that are harmful to humans in a Japanese style.
Are there ghosts ones that aren't harmful to humans?
Yeah, like you got...
So it's quite a statement that you want them to be harmful to humans.
Well, I think that because if you look at like their Pokedex entries, they're pretty...
As I do, yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty graphic stuff. Like Drifloon, for instance, you would think it would just like a balloon-type Pokemon, right? But what it does is Drifloon is partial to children because they're small, and it attaches to children to try to take them to the afterlife. But of course, it's a balloon and can't lift them.
Yeah.
And so it ends up being taken for a ride, but its goal is to take them to
That'll
the afterlife,
cool.
right?
Nice.
So things like that. So I'm really, really excited.
Oh, it's
about
like
it.
A balloon.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Okay.
Yeah. So my Drifloon is going to have like severed hands.
Oh,
because it's taking them, right? But it
I like that.
Couldn't take them.
Ah, metal.
Yeah. I like
Very
it.
Metal.
I'm excited.
And any games you've been playing?
I've been playing the shit ton of the new Pokemon Arceus, however you pronounce that.
Arceus?
I don't know. It's yeah. great. Couldn't give it more high recommendation.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it looks great for Switch, right?
Mm-hmm. Switch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like a lot of fun. It's been a while since I've been into a Pokemon game, but seeing stuff like that gives like just in general Breath of the Wild vibes kind of mm-hmm. so.
Very much so, and it's such a unique way of playing the Pokemon franchise to where it's still that turn-based action, but it's got a cool like I want to say even Dark Souls style combat to where when we encounter an enemy, you have to dodge out of the way, so you have dodge mechanics built in.
Oh, cool.
And then you throw out whatever Pokemon is in your arsenal at that time.
Yep, seems like a more realistic way of what Pokemon would be in mm-hmm. real life.
Mm-hmm. You know, it is a very realistic take. I like it.
Imagine they did Pokemon, but it was just Dark Souls.
I would play the shit out of it.
It'd be a lot of fun. I haven't been really playing anything new. I've been playing Back 4 Blood with some friends,
okay.
and that's just a fun, mindless game to play. Playing some Valorant, and then I played Outlast 2 with Sophia watching, mm-hmm. and she's not very good with horror jump scares, and so that game's very fun to play. She wanted to play it too, so she like wanted to watch me play it, and it is very scary. But
you're bringing her out of her comfort zone. That's good.
Yeah, a little bit.
So speaking of Back 4 Blood, a buddy of mine just got hired with them as a tester, like a high-end test engineer.
Okay, tell him get the cards fixed. there's some cards in there where I'm like, this is not going to help me at all. You get like cards before, like after every level, and you get like a random assortment of cards, and it's like this one will give you five. like you'll get 5 extra health when you use a med kit. And it's like, well, in general, I only have like 200 health. So I feel like an extra 5 isn't going to be that much. Yeah. So, but yeah, it's a fun game. It's just a Left 4 Dead mm-hmm. copy, but I mean, that's basically all it is. Yeah. Just newer. So pretty fun. Sure.
What's that new one that's coming out from, I think, Bethesda, Red Dawn or Red something?
The other like Left 4 Dead looking one?
Yeah, but
Project like Atticus or something?
No. That's a whole different thing. This one has to do with like vampires and that kind of stuff.
Oh, I don't know that.
Oh, that one looks super good. I'm going to look the name up while you guys are doing your other
thing. Yeah. Before we talk about Boba Fett, I watched the most recent one with Sophia. She was very excited about it. And then I told her about Star Wars Visions. And she didn't know what that was. And so we watched a couple episodes of Star Wars Visions.
The first one's the best.
Yeah, I was like, you need to watch just this one. If you don't like it, then that's fine. Like, but if you do like it, then maybe you like some of the other ones. And the Ronin one's so good.
Yeah.
Not to explain what a kyber crystal is, but by the time that she understood, I was like, she was like, damn, that's cool.
Yeah, she liked it.
Yeah. Cool. And then we watched the twins one. And she was looking up the voice actor because she was like,
New Batch Cares.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I was like, he sounds like an anime character. And I was like, oh, maybe she knows him from like some anime that she watched. But it was Neil Patrick Harris. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. What episode was this?
The twins. It was the one where there's like a dual star. What do you call
it? Star Destroyer.
Oh, yeah.
They're like one connected. And there's like a brother and a sister.
I think I skipped
the brother is
they're
in
both
Neil Patrick.
Sith Lords or something.
And like he sounds like a genuine like anime voice actor. That's and so, so I was funny. So surprised.
Yeah, he was Nightwing in something.
Yeah, I love me some MPH.
Yeah. So that was pretty funny.
Anyway,
Redfall is what it's called.
Redfall.
Interesting. I'll have to check it out.
All right. Should we talk about the new episode of The Mandalorian?
Yes, exactly.
Yep.
Season 3, episode 1 of The Mandalorian.
Dude, like, sick episode, but, like, I don't know why this was in here. You know what I mean? I'd prefer.
I don't know why either, but I assume. I mean, it's obviously to tie Mandalorian into Book of Boba Fett. Maybe there's, like.
They already did that.
How?
With the Mandalorian, I guess.
Yeah, the Mandalorian, sure. Boba Fett was in it.
They're
already
cool.
Buds.
I thought it was kind of refreshing because like it's very formulaic. Book of Boba Fett with doing like the flashbacks and everything. Mm-hmm. It's like we'll have a little bit of people don't respect Boba Fett, and then I'll do a thing and they respect me a little bit more, and then there's flashbacks. But in this, it's like just a Mandalorian story, so I appreciated it.
Sure. Yeah,
really cool stuff that they were doing though.
It was great to hear just the Darksaber.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like I love like when it like ignites and shit. It's really cool.
I like that it's heavy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was weird. You have to kind of go with it and go with the flow because it fights against you. I thought that was a really cool concept.
Yeah, kind of weird.
Yeah, super weird.
He like sliced himself even.
Yeah,
he's not used to waving around a light wand.
Yeah,
yeah.
I like they have like a Halo ring city. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, that was cool. The time cycles are fast. It was a fast time cycle.
Yeah, it just like goes back and forth. You'd never be able to sleep.
Ever.
You have to shut all the windows.
And curtains just open and close.
And then
the
you
daylight.
Could just like climb a ladder and you're at the bottom of it. And if you just fall off, you're just done. Yeah. Like there's a part where he falls off and he has to jetpack back up.
Yeah, right.
When that happened, I was so scared for some reason. I was like, oh no.
That's it. He's done.
That was so easy.
Is he just gonna fall on a Tatooine and that's how he joins us?
Like, this is not how gravity works, but
yeah, he's gonna turn into that movie Gravity.
Yeah, basically. No.
So like do their helmets provide them oxygen? Do they not need oxygen?
I assume.
I didn't think about it too hard, but I was like,
I assume it's like just vacuum sealed somehow.
He puts it on and vacuum seals.
Maybe it connects to the neck part.
Does it go into his nose and his mouth?
Yeah, basically. But yeah, it was really cool. I like just the duels and stuff. I think the armor is really cool. The chick
I love his shiny armor. The girl with the fur on her.
Yeah.
Super like Nordic looking.
Yeah, very
super hard.
Very wise.
Yeah.
She's like, that spear is dangerous to the Mandalorian culture, so we need to melt it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, damn, that's sick.
I could have just handed that bitch over too. It's like, fine.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I want to know what
she's
he made.
Stuck up.
I want to know what she made for Grogu.
I know. Yeah,
we'll see in a minute. Probably.
Yeah, probably.
Think it's like a 2-chain chain with like the ball on the end.
I hope so, because you saw like little chains, and you're like,
it looked like it was one of those things in like Lord of the Rings or whatever that they wear under their armor.
I was like, is this
gonna be vest?
Like,
probably.
Yeah,
that'd be dope.
We saw like little rings, and I was like, is it gonna be chainmail? Like,
what? Turn him into
what's
Frodo?
Yeah,
is he gonna
maybe.
Have like a little mini Mando helmet?
I would love that.
That would be cool.
Be adorable. I assume they did something adorable because they need to go crazy with Grogu sales again. So it's probably like a little mini Grogu helmet with little holes for the ears, like
brass knuckles.
That would be sick too.
So like the Mandalorians are like rebuilding, because I guess it's just like them three now.
Yeah, which
is, I guess
I don't know how they got to that.
Wasn't there a big battle where they all got killed?
I thought that was a while ago.
It was.
Okay.
I don't know how many are left.
He hasn't like talked to them in a minute. I feel like
he's doing his own thing for a while. I'm curious to see, because he has to redeem himself now, right? For the first transgression of taking off his helmet.
But there's no way to really do that because the mines are blown up.
Yeah, you got to go do this thing. So he's going to go do this thing.
I guess so. And that part is really weird because he's being like exiled from his religion, essentially, like his whole life.
Yeah.
And then they just like can't give him a pass on this one rule.
Yeah. Three of them.
Yeah. The three of them. Like, I guess we're two now. Like we just got Mandalorian back and now we're
like rebuilding.
This is the way.
Yeah.
Some shitty rules.
That's some crazy cult. But
he's going to join that shit.
It's really interesting seeing him go through that. You know.
And I think this particular sect is like the only sect that does it this way, right? Other Mandalorian is just like a bounty hunter.
Yeah.
But these guys are like super hardcore about like their belief system.
Yeah, because Boba Fett just like takes it off willy-nilly. He's like, oh, I just walked into this bar. Here, you take my helmet. You know? Yeah.
Here, clean it.
clean it. Which is crazy. But
I like the part where he's like on a commercial flight or whatever.
I love that. That's so weird.
He has to take all of his fucking like weapons off.
I was like, they're gonna misplace his pack, like his suitcase.
Yeah, for sure. I thought something was gonna go down.
Yeah. But then it was just like a 5-minute scene. Where
like, he's fine.
And he built the new ship.
It looks dope.
Mandalorian is just Star Wars Vin Diesel now.
Yeah,
which is cool.
The N1 Starfighter.
Intra mile, winning's winning.
Yeah, it's funny that it has like the engine block like coming
out
of it.
Right?
It's literally just a hot rod.
That's so funny.
And that's why he's like Star Wars Vin Diesel.
I like
which is
it.
So funny.
Did you recognize the BD droid that was in it?
Yes, I did.
From Fallen, Order.
Fallen Order.
Yeah.
Love
I was going to see if that's going to be his new little companion buddy.
Probably not.
You don't think so?
But it was.
That'd be fun to have him have a droid, but I don't think he will.
Yeah, I mean, it's more. It just seemed like more of a Jedi thing to have like a companion droid. Mm-hmm. But I did like seeing it in like live action. I'm like, oh yeah, I know what that's in reference to.
Yeah,
I haven't finished that game yet.
You should.
I know, best.
Oh yeah, the finale is huge.
I could spoil the shit out of it for you.
It's very worth it.
I'm close. I believe I just got to like Dathomir, so I'm
no fucking way you're close. You're like
no,
you're like,
well, you
first
can go
third.
To Dathomir like,
I went to
right
Dathomir
the
last,
so then you're pretty close.
Wait,
I would say you can get to Dathomir.
You've
like,
only been there once.
I went there once. I couldn't proceed because they didn't have like the jump to do it. So I had to go do a bunch of other stuff, and then I went back.
Okay, yeah.
And then I finished it out.
I thought you
I
just got to
Dathomir.
No,
no, no,
like,
no.
You could go there first if you want, which
I don't think I've got that much farther. I would probably say another 4-ish hours or so because I'm a completionist. So it'll take me a while.
You're going to do all the side shit?
I love doing all the side shit.
And you get all the ponchos?
All of it.
Yeah, so many ponchos.
I don't wear the ponchos, but I unlock them.
I got as much as I could, for sure. And then, like, when it was over, I just, like, just was done with it. You know what I mean? I might redo it, but other than that, I'm not going
to,
like,
I think it'll be fun to revisit.
Not going to 100% it.
See, I love, like, the Tomb Raider games with all the things you find. Oh, mm-hmm. I love it. Can't get enough of it.
Great game. Great game. Yeah, so the BD droid was in it.
He goes through he flies through like the pod racing track.
Yeah, super
which
fun.
Is pretty sick.
Yeah, yeah.
It feels very fast when he's doing it. And
it
like
did.
His flying mechanism, just like the two handle things that he gets. It seems very crowded in there. So it's definitely no Star Crest.
I definitely like the Star Crest or the Razor Crest?
Razor Crest, sorry. Yeah.
I like that more. This is more storage, you know?
Yeah.
For sure.
You could put a person in there if you had a bounty.
You cannot stretch your legs in that thing.
Cannot stretch your legs.
If he goes to get Grogu, he could only fit in like the little droid spot now.
Oh, yeah.
Which I feel like will happen.
Probably. Yeah. That's probably just leading towards that.
They have to have a reason to have that there. But I like just the mechanic lady. I think she's really fun.
She is funny.
Yeah.
But yeah,
she sold the shit out of that ship to him. Though, I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, she's a used car salesman. That's who she is. But yeah, super fun episode.
And then he gets just like approached by some X-wings, and one of them like recognizes his voice, mm-hmm. and he just like bolts out of there.
Yeah.
So
he Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift it.
He did.
Yep.
He's like, well, that was just too fast for us to even catch up to. So we'll
just
leave it.
Yeah, basically.
And at the end, it's like, hey, do you want to help Boba Fett? And that was it.
I didn't know that the backstory of that girl, I forget her name.
Anakshand.
Yeah, where she got like gutted and repurposed with like mechanic parts. That was super cool.
I don't think we knew she had mechanical parts
until
that.
Yeah.
I didn't know
she always had clothes over it.
Yeah, but yeah, pretty metal.
Right? Super metal.
Yeah, that'd be fucking freaky.
Yeah.
Like you're just, all your insides are, all your innards are mechanical now.
Mm-hmm.
But you've been liking it in general so far?
Yeah, I think it's really cool. I really enjoyed the cultural aspect of them with the sand people.
Oh, I love, yeah. when they got slaughtered.
I didn't think I would like Tuscan.
I thought it was going to be sand people for the rest of the season. Really? Like, I'm so done with this. And then then episode three or whatever, they were gone. So I'm like, sick.
I was just glad that he wasn't talking Tuscan or whatever.
Yeah. Because
the Mandalorian does, and it's hilarious. So I was like, I don't know if I could do a whole season.
It's like doing the Wookiee language.
Yeah, basically.
Or when the pilot was doing the Jabba language.
Yeah.
That was funny.
That was hilarious. He said, Data Jawa.
Furry. Very furry.
Yeah, big furry. Yeah. We're counting all the Banthas that have been dying, because Banthas are like the best Star Wars character, and they've killed so many in this show.
Why are Banthas the best Star Wars character?
Have you seen them?
No, best Star Wars, like, animal.
Animal.
Yeah.
It's been like six or seven.
Yeah.
If you count.
If over 10 die, yeah, it's a bad show. That's what I'm going with.
Because they just, you ride them, and they're just jamming. They just love
flying. They're not hurting anybody, but there's literally an episode where two of them die the exact same way. With like the biker crew that comes through.
And then they come back.
Yeah, they come back, kill another one. And I was like, ah!
There's too many.
too many dying. It's like a cow getting shot or something.
And then one of the episodes, we see a fucking Bantha skeleton. I'm like, this is brutal.
There's like, there's number six.
I can't take it.
You gotta get shirts. Save the Banthas.
Yeah, same. We're PETA, but the good PETA for Banthas only.
Yeah. People against the ethical treatment of Banthas.
Exactly. Yeah, good show.
Anyway, I'm love it.
It's like eight episodes or something, right? I would assume.
Yeah, so we're on what five. Was that, five?
Yeah, we got three more.
Six came out today, I think?
Yeah, so two more weeks after today. Yeah, it comes out Wednesdays, I think.
Anyway. So, yeah,
good stuff. I watched Peacemaker. Pretty solid episode.
Yeah, pretty good. Not a spoiler for people in the room that who are going to go see it, but Vigilante watches Fargo. I thought that was cool.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Like the movie Fargo?
Like there's a show based off of Fargo.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
I thought that was fun.
Some good action. I like his X-ray helmet. That's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
In the show, they establish that he has different helmets that do different things. Okay. So there's one that'll do like a sonic boom and like kind of do like an area of effect kind of thing. And there's one that does X-rays. And okay. So he uses that to his advantage in the show. That's but cool. Yeah, it was
I'm
pretty
definitely going to give it a shot. I think, you know, give it a little bit more open mind and not.
Did you see the. Sorry. Did you see like the little cameo appearance that was like on his wall when they go to his house?
No.
So there's like a newspaper and it says Peacemaker apprehends Kite Man.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah.
I was like, fuck yeah.
I was like, they're going with
Kite Man
again.
Every episode, there's some obscure reference to DC and some weird ass character. And it's just like, we've just been like looking for him and it's really funny.
One of them was Matter Eater Lad, which is a DC character. He also just.
Batmite. One of them. Oh
my gosh. Also just rips on a normal Justice League character every single episode, it seems like. So
that's cool.
In this one, he thinks that Superman has a poop fetish because he Googled it. And someone was like, that's not true. And he's like, oh, congratulations. You know more than Google. You know,
that's funny.
Yeah. So there's some good bits in there.
Yeah.
There's some like good room for comedy and ad lib, it seemed like, in this episode. So pretty fun. And I'll keep watching it. That's everything, I think.
Yeah, basically. What are we going to read next week? What are we going to do next week, Nathan?
I have no idea.
So because of the 30th anniversary of Image Comics, I think we should do like an OG Image book.
Oh. One of the ones that like aren't around.
One of the ones
like a young blood. Savage Dragon.
Savage Dragon is what I was thinking.
Okay, I'm down for that.
Or hold on, I wrote down another one. Or like Spawn.
No, we should save Spawn for something else, I think. But like the movie's coming out.
I don't know. It's not.
Yeah, are they redoing it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think Todd McFarlane,
the creator of the comic book, is gonna be directing it.
Oh, okay.
So that'll be only good.
Only
surely.
Only better.
Yeah. No, let's do Savage Dragon.
Okay,
because I can't think of another reason why we'd do Savage Dragon, so might as well just do it.
Fair enough. Yeah. And I have been wanting to get to it eventually.
Yeah. So
this is like one of the books that just like keeps going for some reason. Mm-hmm. It's not like issue 300 or something.
Oh, wow.
It's just, it just like comes out. There's probably a solid group of like 1,000 people that'll read it or something. But
and it's so it random. Like it's not like on any kind of schedule. It just kind of like comes out when he finishes it, basically.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
So,
I think it's just the one dude who does it all.
Yeah, he was one of the original people to help create Image, and Savage Dragon was one of the like debut titles.
Okay.
It's crazy like how big it was. Like a lot of those comic book creators that started Image were on like Levi's commercials and stuff like that. Like they were that popular for some reason.
Interesting.
Yeah. They're like basketball players that would go to the comic shop. And they're like, I want to read Youngblood.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, there's like a really interesting Image documentary where it just has a bunch of that random stuff. But to see like Rob Liefeld on a Levi's commercial is so funny, where he's just wearing denim jeans and he's like, yeah, I'm Rob Liefeld. It's funny. But yeah, we'll do Savage Dragon.
Sounds good. Thank you everybody for listening. You can email us at traderspod@gmail.com. Tell us what to read. Tell us if you liked Brian. If we should have him back.
Tell us if you don't, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell us if you don't. We're on Twitter at Trade Waiters. Our individual Twitters are on there. Trade Waiters Pod, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
We're on TikTok at Trade Waiters, the one and only.
Yep.
Did you want to plug anything?
What's your Twitch stream?
My Twitch stream is Your Guy Bri. That's my Twitch stream. I haven't been streaming often.
B-R-Y?
B-R-Y, yes. Okay. I will be getting back into the streaming, though, for sure. So if you're looking for me and all my friends being lewd on Call of Duty, that's where I'll be.
Nice.
Perfect.
Very cool.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Yep. Peace.
Yep, thanks.